Ever notice similarities in the worlds of horror and science fiction? Parallels in structure, worlds, character, or theme? Well, we notice this shit all the time. We refer to them as keys, and
Johnny has the keys.
Johnny has the keys, the podcast of horror and science fiction that shapes our lives, with your hosts, David Horton and Tim Smith, lifelong friends introduced and bound by their love of the genres. And now your hosts, Tim and David. Greetings, hello, and welcome out there in podcast land. You are listening to Johnny Has the Keys, a podcast of horror, science fiction, literature, movies, television, everything that we can think of to talk about each and every week. Tim is here with me. Hey, Tim.
Hey, David, what's going on?
Nothing much. What's going on with you? How have you been this week?
Oh, it's been, it's a good week. I'm energized. I'm ready to go. I'm excited about today's show.
Nice.
You got a nice movie going.
Definitely B, yes. We've definitely got that. And it's in your genre, of course. Not that I don't appreciate your genre, but you're the expert on it, sort of thing. But what have you been doing this week before we jump into that? What's been going on? Anything good? What's happened good this week?
Well, to me, instead of talking genre-related stuff this week, the good and thing that's got me buzz is that the Johnny Has the Keys Facebook page reached 1,000 followers.
Ding, ding.
Yeah. And I just thought it's kind of appropriate that this is technically our final episode of the first season. And for us to reach that accomplishment on the broadcasting of our first season finale is kind of freaking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. That's exciting. So all of you guys out there listening, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Keep it up. Tell all your friends, family, relatives, whomever. Like us, love us, hate us, whatever. But, you know, definitely get in touch with us.
Yeah, please. I mean, a lot of y'all need to reach out. I know how it is out there in podcast land. There's a silent majority. I'm a part of that community and a lot of other podcasts that I listen to. But it is cool that people like Buck have reached out to us. Holly's reached out to us. I mean, there's been several people that have communicated with us either on Facebook or in, actually, I've had one on YouTube here recently. I can't remember the name, though. And, just various outlets that people are finding us.
Tyler. I think Tyler was another one. Yeah,
Tyler's another one. Exactly.
Yeah, so I think it's great. And you guys, please get in touch with us. You know, we are very curious to hear what you think, what you like, what you don't like. Do you agree with us on some of these references that we make or not?
And
or our selection.
Yeah.
You know, as Tim said, we've kind of tried to structure the podcast like a with seasons. So this is our final episode of this season, and then we'll start up with next season very soon. And we've got a good slate, we think, already stated for that, but we have open slots for your suggestions.
Yeah, so we kept a couple of them blank, so we in case there's some last-minute additions.
Yeah, so let us know what you guys think, and thank you again so much for listening to us and for getting us over that 1,000 gap. Now we go to 5,000. That's our next goal. Yeah.
I'm shooting for 1,500.
And it's not just on Facebook. So like Tim said, we've got YouTube, we've got all the normal podcast elements and everything else, and even Patreon and Insta and all that. We'll have all kinds of stuff for you.
Insta will be up soon. I had some difficulty with that, but I'm going to work on that while we're on break. And we're on Twitter. And, of course, all the major podcast platforms, Apple, Google. So, yeah, we're out there.
Excellent.
That's for sure.
So cool. Something to be celebrated. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Did you have any genre-related news this week?
Any genre things? Not really. I've been out of the loop this week doing a lot of work.
Yeah, you've been a busy boy.
And so I haven't had a lot of chance to delve into it. I did have, again, as I said, my my current, it's not a guilty pleasure, but I guess my current just relax and reflect and just kind of veg moments are I've been rewatching every season of CSI. And I did get to see two of those this week. And I just, I get it on Hulu and I just sit and just watch and just go, okay. And it just lets me kind of decompress. I like the series. I always have. I like the way it's done. I mean, I've heard other people who say, I watch an episode of The Office every day, or I watch an episode of Supernatural every day, or something like that. Gossip Girl, Gilmore, whatever, one of those. But for me, it's CSI. Don't know why. It fascinates me. I just like watching it.
So I have a few.
I didn't get to do
those.
That twice.
I have the original series of Star Trek, any day.
Yes, any day.
Any of the well, old ones. Me. And the X-Files, I can always go to that. And here recently, the first 5 or 6 seasons of The Walking Dead, I can easily do too.
Yeah. Okay.
And so now Dennis, my other half, goes every night to the Golden Girls.
Every night.
It used to be Designing Women when they were on, but they're not on anymore. Just Golden Girls. They're like running on an eternal loop on, I don't know, Lifetime or something. Yeah. They would live forever. Yeah.
They will live forever, immortalized.
Yeah. What's Barbara into?
We binge different things. She is now into ultra reality, so she has been binging for weeks now, Naked and Afraid. That show that is like Survivor times 9,000 kind of
thing. Yeah, I don't watch it, but I mean, that's classic reality television for a reality TV junkie, I would think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I watch it occasionally too. I like the fact that it is not heavily overproduced.
Yeah.
A lot of the reality shows I have problems with. Something happens and I go, it's kind of like that Sam Kinison thing. Okay, so they're laying there suffering. I know that guy on the camera crew has a sandwich. They can help him. But they're not supposed to. Or this is such a dangerous gully. We have to rappel down it. Well, how did the cameraman get at the bottom of it to shoot up and show you guys coming down it then?
Yeah.
He didn't rappel down the damn thing,
He drove around in the Jeep with the
He drove rain. Around, yeah. And it, yep, yep. I would love to do like a pseudo farce documentary of just, showing these people suffering, trying to make a campfire or something, and then pan over to the whole crew sitting there, with like heaters and space blankets and Gatorade and all that, watching them.
I feel the same about Survivor. Whenever it goes away, finally, I want to see a big behind the scenes show on that show and the hotels they're at on the other island or wherever it is that they are. Yeah.
Or Jeff Probst with all, electric fans all around him, just out of camera shot, just shooting on him so he never gets hot or whatever, Yeah, you used to be a Survivor addict. Are you still?
Yeah, I actually still watch it. It's very heavily produced, but it's pretty much stuck to its formula, but they do throw in surprises almost every season as far as changing up rules of the game. So I still find it interesting.
Cool.
And it's good mindless TV for when I'm actually on my phone or doing some work, on the couch.
Right. So. Right. And that's what like CSI is for me. I can look up and go, because I'm very curious about how they structure the mystery, how they write it, how they, what they give away and what they don't. What are the MacGuffins? That sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Which I think is why I'm really interested in it, from a writing perspective. But speaking of a writing perspective, let's talk about what we're going to talk about today.
Okay.
Do you want to tell us what we're talking about and give us a lead in or whatever on it, since it happens to be of your genre?
Yeah, this is a movie I caught about, 10 years ago. I heard about it probably through Fangoria or some outlet that you don't normally hear things. Well, I mean, you do if you read it, but the average person would not know about. And they were talking about this ferocious little horror movie, and I was like, oh, that sounds, you know, kind of like The Evil Dead or something. I might need to check this out. And in retrospect, well, first of all, I did check it out, and I liked it a lot. I was like, yeah, I love, you know, little scenarios, little stories, not a lot of people trapped in a place. You know, that's one of my jams. And in retrospect, well, first of all, I suggested maybe we do it as the finale because I knew you'd probably never seen it. And I remembered I liked it. So I rewatched it twice here recently. And I still like it a lot. It's not as great. I mean, I'm seeing more of the flaws with it. But it's still one of those, I call it B-movie gold. It's like if I'd seen this movie when I was a kid, I would be telling everybody about it. This would be like me running around just freaking out about how much I love this movie. Now, as an adult, yeah, it's fun. I think it's got its place. It's a popcorn movie.
So, okay.
And in retrospect, I also went back and did a little research, and really the director has not done a lot since or ever. He's done television. He did the Teen Wolf series.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but well, I also, and he also did Grudge 3.
Yeah, so he's in sequel land too. So it got him on the map. Yep. Anyway.
So what we're talking about, in case you didn't read, you're just listening to the podcast.
Oh, yeah, I guess I should introduce it.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
I didn't say the title. The title of the movie is
Splinter,
which the word alone makes you cringe a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. It's that, what do you call it, body horror?
Mm-hmm.
Or definitely has that, because, and I think everyone can relate, you know, from the time you're, you know, four years old on, you know, people probably know what a splinter is and how much it hurts. So not bad titling for it. It was done in 2008, I have in my notes. Directed by Toby Wilkins, who, yes, did Teen Wolf. Written by Ian Shore and Kai Berry. Has a cast of maybe six, but principally only three characters. Shay Wiggum, Jill Wagner, who I also found out was also in Teen Wolf.
Yeah. Yeah. Got a little click going there.
Paolo Costanza, who I actually recognized and went, oh, okay, that's Royal from Royal Pains. Because I watched like the first season of that. That was like an AMC series or something.
What was it called?
It was called Royal Pains. It was two con artists who end up becoming doctors to the rich and famous. And they're total shams. They have to make it up as they go. They just kind of fell into this scheme. It was a nice little series. I only watched the first season. I think it went for like five or six.
Yeah.
I mentioned the casting just because, like you said, you called it B movie gold. I do think it is a B movie. It wouldn't, but it has some really solid stuff to it. And I think the primary solid stuff is the acting. I think the acting in this movie is pretty solid all the way through. It feels natural. It feels pretty realistic. Even sometimes when some of the dialogue might be a little they do it well.
I guess
is a good way to say it.
I mean, you mentioned writing earlier, and there are definitely some elements that are a little forced, and it's clearly because of the character they put there. It's like there's a reason the lead is nerdy, you know, because he has to figure things out that are going on, you know, to move the story along.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of moving, another reason I think it's kind of cool is that it's only 82 minutes long. It's really fast.
It is fast. However, to me, that last act kind of drug a little bit. And I kind of went, because I, you know, when I saw the length too, and you told me about it, I went, oh, okay, so this will be let's just watch this. But I did end up looking at my watch a couple of times near the end, which is, you know, if it's a great movie, I never do, sort of thing. That's kind of my rule. But yeah, during that last act, I was like, eh. And I think maybe it was because I was not that I was bored with the action, because I do think it's a fairly fast-paced story. Mm-hmm. And I do think Wilkins is a good, adequate director. I just had so many questions by the end of it, or by that last section of it, I guess. And it's not that every movie has to tell me why or what or whatever, mm-hmm. but a little something or a hint of something might help.
Well, there is a quick hint at the beginning, but it's very brief. I don't know if you noticed.
The sign thing?
Yeah, the sign. It's almost like, well, it's one of my keys, so I'll hold it.
Well, and I really didn't get to read it. It said something about an oil company.
Right.
But I don't know what that meant.
Like a refinery or something. Yeah.
I guess, even though there's no reference to that, and they say they're in Oklahoma.
That's actually where it was filmed. Yeah, it was filmed in
Georgia or somewhere. They look like they're in the southeast somewhere. I don't equate Mexican border with that amount of trees, in my opinion. Mm. And he kept saying the Mexican border is 30 miles away. I was going, really? You don't look like you're in Texas to me, or New Mexico, or anywhere that borders Mexico. Mm-hmm. But that was just me. I guess, you know, by the end of it, or by that last part, I was going, so what is this? And where did it come from? And it's like I said, I don't think you have to explain that every time. Like, Alien. We both love Alien, and it doesn't really explain where the creature came from or anything else. But I didn't mind. In this one, I did. I guess maybe because it is so hyper-realistic and everything else, mm-hmm. maybe? I don't know. Well, what about you? I mean, so you said you originally saw this 10 years ago, so mm-hmm. right after it had gotten popular or whatever.
Yeah.
And I literally watched it this week.
Yeah. Well, and it also won several awards. That's another reason why it was brought to my attention. So,
like, what kinds? What kind of awards?
It was the winner at Scream Fest 2008 for editing, for makeup, for effects, for directing, for score, and for picture. Mm. So, I'm not sure what its competitors were. But that's a lot.
I was just about to say that. I was just about to say. What was it compared against?
Maybe Saw or something like that. I don't know.
I don't know. I think Saw, even as much as I don't like that film, it had much better effects than this one.
I only saw the first one.
Well, why don't we talk positives first? So positives about this. Like I said, I do think Wilkins' direction overall is good. Pacing is great. I can agree with editing except for the action sequences.
Yeah, there's a lot of shaky camera that did get on my nerves in those sequences.
Yeah, I can't handle that. That was just bothering me, because it wasn't just the shaky cam, because I even have that here. Handheld work way too much. It was like when they would go to the creature effects, they would also use that flicker effect. Mm-hmm. That they used a lot, in the past decade, where it kind of flickers and shudders mm-hmm. and stuff. And in some cases, that's good to kind of unnerve people. But in this one, it made me think, are you trying to hide the effects? Are they not really good and you're trying to hide them or whatever?
I think that's exactly what it was. I don't think they had a lot of money. And I think they were like, this looks fake. We've got to do something.
Yeah, I could understand that. I could see that. That's kind of my rationale. I agree with you. I think I even said at one point, I said, this is a high caliber, low budget movie. So I guess like your B movie gold is the equivalent of that. Mm-hmm. This is definitely a Fangoria movie, in my opinion. This was a poster child for Fangoria.
But I think there's another element to it that lifts it above Fangoria. Well, I mean, I like Fangoria. They know all the subgenres, like you were mentioning, body horror, all that. But if you were going to put this against The Human Centipede, I would think this is a lot higher up than The Human Centipede. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whereas you would see both of them featured in that magazine. This to me is more of a popcorn movie. This is a drive-in movie. This is what it, yes. It's a modern day drive-in
definitely.
Movie.
Definitely a drive-in movie. And the one that, you know, throwing keys and everything, the one that it reminded me a lot of was Cabin Fever, Eli Roth's Cabin Fever.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because it was that trapped in an environment. You know, all the tropes are there.
Right.
You know, it has some traditional tropes and you know, like you said, small cast, small group of people trapped in a confined place, can't get out. Slowly contagion from within kind of thing. But it did have some standout performances all the way through.
That Shea Whigham guy is great.
Yeah, he's great from the very first scene when he's going, hey, baby, no, we're going to be okay, you know, and all that. Mm-hmm.
And he has gone on to work with everybody, like Scorsese, De Niro. I mean, he's got this huge pedigree of acting now, whereas the other two you don't really...
Right. Although their relationship is very well told and very, you know, right there in on screen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can tell they love each other. You can tell they have the problems. He's like the milquetoast sort of guy and she's the tomboy kind of thing. But they both love that in each other.
Now, you're talking about the main couple.
Yes.
When I'm talking about Shea Whigham, he's Dennis.
Not Shea Whigham's.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, because I equate those three. The Lacey character was kind of like superfluous to me. You know, Shea Whigham's girlfriend in it, mm-hmm. Whatever her name was.
She's sad that their dog died, David. She's very sad.
Yeah.
She's like crazy sad. It's like, what is wrong with her?
Yeah, I was going, okay, is she jonesing or what? Just, okay. So our dog died, but we ran over it, you know, that sort of thing. So it was, there were some, okay, screenplay-wise, I do think it's stronger too, like compared to A Human Centipede, compared to A Cabin Fever.
Mm-hmm.
The characters all make pretty logical sense. Even if the logical sense is run away, they do it.
Right.
You know, if there's a door there and a creature on the other side, well, then lock the door right now. So do it. You know, nobody goes anywhere without lighting, which is part of the story, though, too, is, you know, this creature doesn't, you know, turn off the lights, or it's not a homicide, or it's not a Jason or anything else. But that's another thing, too, that he can create this mood and this tension, this suspense in all this harsh lighting. Because, you know, everything has that kind of fluorescent-y, greeny kind of look to it, too. What else? What do you think are the strong points? If you had to sell this movie... What would you sell it as?
It's got a hot chick. It's got monsters. People are trapped somewhere. They have guns. There's a lot of firing. There's a little bit of explosions.
So, yeah, you definitely did the drive-in, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. If I had to break it down from a screenplay point, I mean, it's like I said, that it's clear that everything's there for a reason. They're like, okay, they're going to get trapped at a gas station, but they're going to need guns. So two of the characters have to be like criminals. You know, the two of the characters that get there, you know, will have guns. And but we need one that's kind of smart, that's going to know or figure out what's going on. But we also need a hot chick, which to me is the most unrealistic thing of the whole movie, because I was like, that she is way up on him. There's no way she would be dating him, I don't think. Do you? I don't know. Maybe... Maybe he's got a nerdy, I don't know, gravitas.
Well,
am I going too fast?
You can always root for the nerd or the geek. You know, come on. But
maybe he's a nerd with a big schlong. I don't know. But she likes him. She takes him camping.
She does. She takes him camping. She does like him. You know, yeah, again, you're hitting all those tropes, you know, of the, you know, we have a nerd who becomes the hero, although in a very kind of illogical way.
Oh, my God. About, yeah, that is a little bit ridiculous.
That, for you listeners, what we're talking about is the section where Seth, who is our biology PhD nebbish boyfriend who
nerd hero
nerd hero who comes up with the plan that If you lower your body temperature, the creature won't see you. So that way he can get to the police car, which is parked outside. And we don't think, you know, the cop has the keys. You know, we don't, that doesn't occur to us. But we can't go the other way. We can't go, okay, why don't we go with that first fire idea? If it's attracted to fire, then do the fire idea and then run to the car.
Yeah.
Instead, we have this kind of prolonged, and this is what I was talking about in that last act, I kind of have issues, but we have this prolonged, I'm laying on ice to chill me while I talk to my girlfriend, and she thinks I'm sacrificing myself, I guess, somehow. We're supposed to think there's danger, but I didn't get it. And then it takes him, you know, 3.5 hours to walk to the damn car.
Right.
And he gets there, and of course, there's no keys.
Yeah. There are two elements of the movie that I find completely stupid. One is that I'm going to reduce my body temperature and hug a bag of ice with a thermometer in my mouth as I walk to the car. And the other is when they're, like, squirting lighter fluid outside that back door. I was like, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to burn the building down.
Well, I mean, yes, I could see that. That one, I had other elements that I just went, what? Like, okay, we're in this convenience store gas station in Podunk, and they have like a hospital-grade thermometer there that they just happen to have in stock to use for this. That I found that kind of weird. Unless people use that for meth or something. I don't know.
Yeah, like who has an electronic thermometer at a gas station? I was like, where in the hell did that come from?
Right. The other kind of issue I had was, the one probably for Fangoria fans, one of their favorite scenes is our criminal with a heart, Dennis, ends up being infected through a
splinter. Give a brief synopsis, because for anybody out there that's not seen this movie, they're like, what the fuck is going on?
Okay, yeah, cool. You want to do that?
Yeah, and we'll we'll do it this way, because we were going to probably go into special effects anyway, so we want to talk about the monster. The movie starts off with some guy we don't know sitting outside this gas station, presumably the attendant that works there, and he's attacked by something unseen. And then it goes to our hero and his hot girl trying to set up a camping tent. Anyway, they decide he would rather stay in a hotel. They break the tent or something. And as they are headed back, they end up, they stop to help somebody they see in the road, which is Lacey. And they end up getting hijacked, or carjacked, should I say, by Dennis, her boyfriend. They are criminals on the run. And the next thing you know, all four of them are together and they're driving away at night and they run over something. They stop because the tire's flat to change the tire. Meanwhile, Lacey and is his name Charlie? Seth. Oh, no, Seth.
Seth.
Yeah. Lacey and Seth go back to check what it is they ran over. And it's this horrible looking thing with like splinters coming out of it. And she equates it with her dead dog. She's like psycho. And she's like trying to make him touch it and fix it. And he's like, no, we got to get out of here. Meanwhile, Dennis, back at the changing tires with the hot girl, gets a splinter in his hand from the tire where it ran over the creature. And moving forward, they end up at the gas station. The attendant of the gas station is now this weird splinter monster thing that it's like this, splinter thing is a host, it's not a host. It's a creature that uses humans as hosts to attack others and I guess spread. And, so they run from him. Meanwhile, Lacey gets attacked and she's out there with the attendant guy, and the three of them are in the gas station hold up trying to defend themselves from this splinter monster that now has at least two bodies and is running around outside the building. And eventually a cop comes and there's a third one. But so yes, people out there that are confused, we are dealing with a splinter monster that is in my opinion, sort of a science fiction type monster. It could be from another planet. But they do allude in the beginning to an oil refinery, I can't say a refinery, near where a sign is on a fence. It looks like a no trespassing sign. There's, you know, some shady oil refinery. So it could be a potential monster from the oil refinery. Who knows? It's ambiguous. You have to let
right,
it flow
and there's lots
you.
Of initial... No. This is not art. There's an initial lots of dialogue about the age of the forest and the age of the trees. And Seth keeps talking about how old this place is and ancient and blah, blah, blah. So there's also that kind of throw
so
out.
So it's
too.
A Lovecraftian monster. Organism. It could be a Lovecraftian monster.
No. There's nowhere near a Lovecraftian monster.
Oh, why not?
No.
Sure. It's an old one, David.
No, it's
old.
This started out with two guys drinking beer one night, and one guy goes, "Hey, man, what if a monster is like a sea urchin or a prickly porcupiney things or whatever?" And the other guy goes, "Hey, my uncle owns a gas station. Okay, let's do a movie."
Didn't we make that
it's
movie?
What reminded me. Yeah, I know. That's what I was about to say. It just reminded me of us sitting around in our youth going, "Yeah, let's just do that. The porcupine monster movie in a gas station. Yeah. We need a hot chick, though. Where are we going to find her?" You know, that kind of thing. I do have issues with the creature. And it's not just you don't explain where it came from. It's just that the way it's shot and the way it's done, everything else makes no sense to me. I don't know how it hurts people other than sticking them with splinters, which it never really does except the sheriff or the police officer. It kind of like shoots spikes at her face.
It rips her face. It rips her in half, too.
But how can you tell that? What is ripping her in half, exactly?
I think it's the first...
The creature is so ill-defined that it's difficult to understand. And I understand less is more in any kind of creature feature. But this one is so less that I don't know how it even has mobility. And I think they were trying to... You know, biggest key in this movie, of course, and I'll just go ahead and say it, is the Thing. John Carpenter's the Thing. This is, you know, obviously inspired by that. But we could tell what was mobilizing the creatures in the Thing. You know what I mean? We could see appendages that actually made sense and you know, until it became the big dog monster at the end. But even the head with claws or with crab legs... or whatever, and this doesn't. It's very amorphous. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I have another key though that I think it's a little more akin to.
Okay.
It's a lot like the Lonesome Death of Jordy Verrill from Creepshow. It's like
like a fungus.
Yeah, it's like this thing this plant based thing that's taking over. And I have another key to that too. We'll get to later. But yeah, I get the thing. I mean, the Thing is clearly a key. If anything, for the isolation and the fact that they're dealing with a monster that takes over your body.
Uh-huh.
So for
and
sure,
the fact that they, but I just, I couldn't feel a threat because I didn't know what it's weapons were, I guess.
Oh my gosh, so I mean, whatever it is, it would hurt really bad. I mean, just seeing that splinter go through Dennis's finger is enough to make me squirm.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's like a paper cut hurts worse than, you know, cutting your arm off kind of thing, too. I mean, just
which they do.
What about what part? Yeah, we're getting there. But what about, I mean, like when Lacey gets attacked by gas station attendant monster broken guy. I don't know how she got attacked other than she fell down. I don't know what happened to her other than she's got blood everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing. I know we pull the sheriff apart, literally pull him apart. It's very Dawn of the Dead kind of feel to me, only upright. But I don't know how. I don't know.
It may be a subconscious thing with me, but I felt like when, you know how every time they showed the silhouette of the tendrils or the urchin growing towards whatever it's, you know, sensing, you know, how they would stretch out a little bit. I have a my theory is that the closer you get, the faster those things can grow, and they just impale you.
Well, I would like to have seen that a little bit more possible.
It would have been nice.
You know, maybe even impale things going into, like, the ribs of the sheriff so you could pull him up. Mm-hmm. But I did have a continuity or a question there. I didn't see how they could pull the sheriff up when there was an awning right above that door. I don't know where the creature was.
Oh, yeah. That could be a continuity thing.
So that bothered
me.
I just had issues overall.
There were windows on both sides. I don't know. Was there an awning over the whole thing? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, when they show the long shot and it, you know, blowing up the whole gas station at the end and a couple of those long shots of isolation and marooned here, it has this huge awning that goes over the whole, especially the front two doors, which is where the sheriff was.
I just remember there's also a window where you can take money because they try to get the coat hanger out it to get the radio. And I was thinking that maybe that didn't have an awning over and that's where they were seeing it. I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah, it was weird. And those were the questions I had. I can't feel a thread if I don't know what really it is. Mm-hmm. It's like even I know don't touch it. That can become scary, you know, and we can have contagion, like the movie Contagion, whatever, you know, don't breathe it, don't touch it, whatever. Especially if it's crawling towards you like Thing from the Addams Family.
I think that some of it is the method of like it's fairly innocuous in its regular state unless you touch it or get close to it, but once it has a host, it can come for you, and that's where the hand came in, that's where Polly comes in, or the gas station attendant. They're like a carrier of it. That's why it keeps slamming one of them up against the wall and smashing its face into the window.
But that's kind of what I mean. So the attendant stays on the car the whole movie. Once he attacks her and gets to the warm car, he just kind of stays there.
Yeah, he likes the warmth.
Lacey becomes infected and it just starts beating her against the glass to try to get in. Then when the cop comes, it merges with her somehow. I also didn't understand before that. So it's the Lacey creature that climbs up on the roof somehow and stays up there, right?
Yeah, I think so. It is a little bit vague.
So, and I found myself, you know, like you said, it's a good B movie. It's popcorn. It's drive-in. You know, I found myself going, David, don't overanalyze the movie about the giant splinters that are attacking people. That's kind of the point of the movie.
David, you know? You're so just analytical.
Go with it. Go with it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it just reminds me of, like, you know, we mentioned frogs in another podcast, that Ray Milland movie. Mm-hmm. That's a drive-in movie. Big time.
Oh, God, yeah. That's actually where I actually saw it the first time.
I think me too.
It was in a drive-in. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or The Incredible Melting Man or something. You know, remember those movies? Boggy Creek.
Oh, yeah. Legend of Boggy Creek. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was terrifying. Scary. Yeah. Well, what keys do you have from this? I mean, because we've been throwing some, of course, and, my biggest one was The Thing. It just reminded me of that. But yours, your Stephen King one was even better. That's a good reference.
I was looking at some.
And that's from...
Yeah.
That's from the first Creepshow, right?
Oh, of course. Really the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other Creepshows... I mean, the second Creepshow had The Raft, which is a great story in it, but the rest of it tanked. And now Nicotero's
Yeah. I'd forgotten about that, The Raft with the kind of oil slicky monster or whatever.
Yeah.
We don't know what it is.
Yeah, that's a great
story. Yeah. And and we're just going to stay here and burn to death. Or, yeah, whatever. Yeah, that was, yeah. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, that's from the second movie, though. The first movie was all George Romero, you know, Father's Day, The Lonesome Death of Geordie Verrill, Something to Tide You Over, The Crate, and They Creep Up on You, I think was the last one with the roaches.
Yeah.
Amazing how well I remember that isn't it?
Both those last two, Crate and the one with the roaches, were both great.
Yeah.
A
few other things.
What keys do you have?
A few other things before that. I've got that I love the ambiguity of what is it? But I wrote, it's not perfect. It has problems, but I don't care. And did you know Mark Cuban was a producer? Do you think this?
No, I did not.
Was Shark Tank on back in 2008?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
I don't know.
But it's funny that he's a producer. Somehow this movie got his attention and his money. What money that they put into it. And then it did win other awards. It was a nominee for the Scream 2009 for Most Memorable Mutilation. Which, that's a great category. And then it was the Night of Horror 2009 winner for Best Film, Effects, Actor, Shea William. So that it won those three for that, whatever Night of Horror 2009 was. I mean, some of these are clearly, you know, horror movie celebrations.
Festivals
or whatever.
That sort of thing. Yeah.
As far as other keys, another big key, if you want to go way back, is Night of the Living Dead. Because they're trapped in a building and there's monsters outside.
Yeah, I could go with that one.
Yeah. The biggest feeling or nostalgia I have for this is that it seems like a really good episode of The X-Files or a good episode of The Night Stalker. Like, this is something I could have seen on television and it'd been just as great. I'd be talking about it at school the next day.
That is great. That is very true, too. And they probably could have trimmed it enough to make it within the hour format of television. That would have been cool. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
What was the X-Files one that was like the thing? Ice or whatever, when they were in the Arctic?
First season.
Yeah. Yeah, similar to that and that feel.
So I don't know what type of key you would call that. I lean toward the word nostalgic, but it's more. I don't know. It's like
an attic key. One of those, you could unlock something else.
One of those Monster of the Week keys, like a standalone X-Files Monster of the Week thing. That's a little bit convoluted, but that's what I'm trying to get across. And then another one I have a key for is a movie that I can't remember what year it came out. It may have been after. I think it was after. Is The Ruins, which I don't know why I didn't put that on my list for next season. And because that's one I think we should probably do as well.
So
that's, have you ever seen it or read that book?
I have not.
That's a book by Scott Smith, who wrote A Simple Plan. And it was one of those books that, like, Stephen King raved about, just like he raved about The Passage. And I picked it up and I was like, oh, yeah, this is good stuff. And then they made a movie about it. And it's about these people trapped in a jungle amongst some ruins in, like, I think it's in Mexico. I can't remember. But so that it's a big key for that as well. The isolation.
Well, you're trapped. You're trapped in isolation. Ones I thought of, or the ones that it kind of reminded me of, were Assault on Precinct 13, another John Carpenter.
Oh, that's good.
And Tremors. You know, Tremors, how they're always trapped somewhere and they can't get out.
Which was on my short list for number two, season two. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I love that movie.
Because that's. Has worms, giant worms.
There is nothing.
Or whatever.
I love that scene where they're all trying to be quiet and that little girl's jumping around on that pogo stick. We're just waiting for the worms to come up and eat her. digress.
A few that reminded me of in flavor, again, I guess because they're good, I think, drive-in movies, and I would probably rank both of these higher than this. I don't know if you would, okay, but I would. Night of the Creeps.
Yeah.
And Slither. You know, the one with the, like the, Night of the Creeps is the one with the worms, right? Or slugs, right? And it, like space slugs.
Don't they get in your brain or something?
Yeah, yeah, well, they crawl into your mouth.
I have not seen that movie since it came out, but I know what you're talking about. And they become like zombies.
They all become zombies attacking the prom. You know, so it's a very good B movie, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But one we talked about earlier in this season in podcast that reminded me of too was Girl with All the Gifts. The end of it. The whole.
Oh, where the things are growing out of their head.
Plant thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you told me the first story about those ants.
Those ants, yeah.
The stuff and they grow sticks out of them or whatever.
Oh, we have some unity here. I love it. Everything goes around. So we're going back to the ants with, you know, the zombie ants. I've got to put that link in the show notes. It exists, people. There are zombie ants out there.
I looked it up. That's true. It has pictures of them. And literally, this fungus grows inside them and then sticks out in big twigs.
Like
and whatever.
Antenna. That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Body horror, man.
Well, and we kind of skipped over it, but we wanted to talk about gore effects because one of my keys was Reanimator because it also reminded me of that kind of gory sort of weirdness when we have to amputate this guy's arm. With a box cutter.
I mean, and a cinder knife, really? Block.
And a cinder block.
That is awesome.
Oh, my God. Who thought of this whole concept?
The whole time I'm just sitting there going, oh, no, this isn't happening. This isn't happening.
Yeah. Well, and I think, honestly, I would have liked a little bit more of that. I think it would have been even more painful to me had there been a little bit more resistance to it, sort of thing. But it was just so, I'll never cut through the bone. Oh, hey, well, this cooler happens to have a couple of cinder blocks just stacked here. Let's use those. So,
and I love how they just cut to the outside of the building and you hear the scream. Wah!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that worked for me too. Yeah. I did find it curious that, you know, Seth, our PhD guy, doesn't know how to change a tire, but he can cut a guy's arm off pretty good. You know, and even didn't Dennis say that even? Something like that? He actually made a comment about can't change a tire, but he can cut a good arm off or whatever.
Yeah, he makes a joke.
I think somebody had that line.
He may have. Yeah. It was something very similar, yeah.
It does have some good lines in it. I do like. I love the fact that the dentist, the criminal character, keeps calling her a firecracker, and he doesn't say by the the second or third time he just goes firecracker. He just says the word.
Yeah.
And him saying, "Who'd have thought this would turn into a menage a trois?" Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had a very Robert Carlyle-esque vibe to him, to me. He reminded me of Robert.
Yeah,
Carlyle.
I could see that. Yep, definitely. I think that's even all the keys I've got. I do have one last key that it reminded me of, and this was just a whim indulgence one day. I saw it on, I think, Netflix and went, I'm going to watch that and see. But it was a movie called Zombievers. Have you seen that?
No, but I've seen where, I know what you're talking about. I've just not been able to bring myself to watch it.
It is absolutely terrible, but I had to watch it just for the title. And it's the same thing. It like combines, ironically, it combines kind of, there's a scene in it that's very similar to like The Raft, where all these girls are caught out on this raft in the middle of the lake, and the lake is full of zombievers. But the rest of it, they're in a, a cabin. Being attacked by zombie beavers. That's what it is.
And they can gnaw beavers through the wood.
Yeah. They can chew it. So a wooden cabin's not going to do you much good because eventually they'll chew through it.
I don't know. Something in my subconscious it's like the title alone suggests another meaning for the word beaver, maybe.
Of course.
And I'm like,
that's why it has four gorgeous girls in it.
I don't want to see rabid vaginas after me.
Teeth. Yeah,
I've heard of that.
Yeah, that's the other one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, now that we think about it, I also remember another low-budget B-movie that I like a lot called Ticks. Do you remember Ticks? With the, they were like, it was like.
Wasn't that like the 80s?
Ken Howard. Yeah, it was like Ron Howard's brother, the one that.
Clint.
What was his name?
Clint Howard. I love
Clint.
Him.
And he.
I was in Gentle Ben.
And he's growing pot up in the woods. With this special formula, toxic formula, and it ends up not only growing killer weed, but it makes ticks the size of, like, puppies.
That sounds like a movie we were drinking and watching at 3 o'clock in the morning. It really does.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
And Steve Roy was definitely there. And probably
and
Wendell.
Steve Roy was, yeah,
and
screaming
Lee.
And
Wendell
yelling.
Wendell Lee, too, I'm sure.
Yeah. The old gang, yeah. Oh, celebrating Ticks.
It's like, we got to watch Ticks. So. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. We got plenty of time.
Yeah, we got plenty of time. Well, okay, one question.
All right.
So I had here, I think I've got, so this you would classify as like a creature feature too, right? Because this is a monster. It's actually kind of original monster kind of thing. What are some other monster movies that you would rate higher than this that you really like? What are some good monster movies?
That I would...
Like creature features.
In the same caliber, or are you looking at something a little more elevated, or...
Probably elevated.
Because I was liking these B-movies you were throwing out there.
Oh, my God. But if somebody said, like, oh, that's a B-movie, then what's an A-movie creature feature? Other than, like... We know Alien. Alien's a creature.
Okay,
creature.
There's one. There was one that was, for all of you out there, we keep referring to the list, and the list is for our second season of this show. And we had a massive list that we pared down to 28 or so episodes. And one of mine that I chose to be on that is a movie called The Host that's a Korean movie that is around, it's along the lines of a Godzilla movie, but the monster's not that big. But the reason I say along the lines is that it's like a result of ocean pollution. You know, remember how those Godzilla movies were all about, oh, it's because we fucked with the earth and radiation and all this stuff. Well, this monster is because of pollution. And it's a great one. It's a great creature feature, even if it is in foreign language. The effects are great, and the creatures are like nothing you've ever seen. Kind of like humanoids from the deep, only with a better story and money.
Mm-hmm.
So, and speaking of B-movies, there you go. Humanoids from the deep. Don't miss it.
There you go. Definitely.
You can even see the zippers on their suit. So The Host would have been one. We just mentioned The Ruins. The Ruins is a good creature feature. It's a different kind of creature.
Okay.
I would put it closer to almost an Invasion of the Body Snatchers type plant-like thing. Or Triffids, maybe. What else?
Triffids. That's one. Except Triffids is more, reminds me more of like a War of the Worlds kind of thing.
Right. And I could go further back. I was actually more in this last few decades. But yeah, if you wanted to go further back, what's another good one from like the 60s? Well, Night of the Living Dead. But those are humanoid creatures.
Well, and you know, you've got all, if you go back to late 50s, early 60s, you've got all the bug-eyed monster movies.
Love them.
I mean, those are all creature features, you know. Mm-hmm.
And those are insect mostly. Yeah.
Mostly, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Mostly insect. But, you know, and probably if we're talking about elevated, then Jaws. Jaws is probably the ultimate creature feature, monster movie, other than a Godzilla or something like that.
The Howling is a good one for werewolves.
For werewolves, yeah. Okay, cool. I just wanted to know, kind of get your take on it and everything else. But this is definitely in that genre of popcorn, you know, drive-in movie, fun.
Remember the remake of The Blob? that Chuck Russell did.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. I like the original Blob, mm-hmm. too, though. I like both those. Both blobs are blobbish. They're good. Yeah.
I know I'm going to get off of here and a million are going to come to mind, but you put me on the spot.
Well, of course. So. Yeah. Well, no, I was just thinking, because we could list a bunch. I know, you know, this movie has all of the bells and whistles of a typical low budget horror movie, mm-hmm. but it kind of is a grade above, you know, the C's and the D's that, you know, we've mentioned, like Frogs and some of those.
And a lot of that is the acting. I think you're right there.
I agree. I think the acting, which is kind of sad to me. I mean, I can understand the Dennis guy, Shea Whigham.
Shea Whigham.
Yeah. I can understand him going on because I think both of, you know, Jill Wagner, I thought was really good. In addition to being pretty, she was also, she had good acting chops, and I haven't seen her really do anything.
Hers is limited to kind of what the director did. Like, maybe they're dating. I don't know. Because she was in Teen Wolf. But, like, the guy that played Seth and the guy that played Dennis are both still doing stuff. They're both going mm-hmm. strong.
Yeah.
So.
What about Lacey, though, Tim? What about poor Lacey?
Oh, poor Lacey.
Is she doing anything?
I don't know. I didn't really
What about the
up.
Potato chip guy? Because yeah. we never know his name, so I called him the potato
she
chip.
She won an award, though.
You know, from the beginning. Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Probably everybody
she
did.
She won an award
movie.
For most distressed woman post-dog death.
Most distressed addict in a movie post dog death. Cool, great. Well, so we both kind of recommend Splinter. We say if you know you have some popcorn handy, or you just want to kind of veg out one night and watch a pretty nice suspenseful actiony, don't mind the shaky cam monster movie, then Splinter is your ticket.
Yeah. Before we go, though, David.
Yeah.
Do you want to? I just had an idea.
Oh no.
Do you want to throw like instead of pulling up the tentative list, do you want to pull up the master list of things and throw a few out there and see if any shout outs happen with these movies that we're considering
with
for next
the
year?
The master list? Yeah, we could do that.
Oh, you know, I've got it in front of
Why
me.
Why not?
I mean, we don't have to. We're not going to go through all of them, but we could throw a few out there and see if we get any votes.
Yeah, throw a few out, and you guys tell us if these are yeses or noes. How about that?
Yeah,
we'd love to see it. Or, no, why are you doing that one? Please don't do Splinter again, or whatever. What do you got? I mean, because we're pretty proud of the list of next year, and we are going to do some really, really classic science fiction, some classic horror, also some offbeat ones, some different decades looks. So, I mean, I think we've done, you know, really good work mm-hmm. on picking next season. But, you know, we always love to hear from you guys, so you could let us know.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Well, here's one, Andromeda Strain. What do people feel Ooh. About that? And that's kind of about... an illness, isn't it? That's spread, a contagion, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
It's a contagion.
Contagion.
Yeah. So there's you.
And I will say for me, because it'll come down to, when everybody asks me, what's your definitive, like what is the definitive science fiction movie? It's that movie. Because that science is the sole perpetrator of everything that happens in that movie. Mm-hmm. Without science, you couldn't have anything in it. And that is a science fiction movie to a T.
Absolutely.
But yeah, what others?
Well, I was going to say, in the horror category, we have three werewolf movies to choose from. We were considering The Howling, An American Werewolf in London, and the original Wolfman from 1941. All three very good movies.
All three good.
Yeah.
Very good.
And then if you want to jump into a little latter-day science fiction... we had talked about Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm.
And
both the original and 49. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we have talked about Independence Day.
Yes, we did.
We even put Event mm-hmm. Horizon on there, which we were just talking about last week with Sunshine, as far as keys.
Yep.
I've got Psycho, 1960, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Rosemary's Baby. Jaws is on there, of course.
Jaws, yep.
Mm-hmm. So we did two John Carpenters this season, and I was thinking, who's another master we may want to do two of? So I put some Stephen King in there. I've got The Shining, mm-hmm. As well as, oh, Misery.
Misery, mm-hmm. We got Misery. And we had talked about some other classic science fiction, some like Fantastic Voyage,
right.
or Star Wars, you know.
The Incredible Shrinking Man.
Yeah, so... So like we said, dear listeners, we had a huge list that we've been paring down, but so what are your guys' lists? What do you want? You let us know, and we'll add them to our list for next season.
Absolutely.
And during our off time, we're still going to continue to watch movies and read books and watch television series and gather our opinions and look for other keys around. So let us know. Keep in touch with us.
So, David, what are you going to do on summer break?
I'm going to go to the lake, but I'm going to avoid zombievers.
Well, just don't go to Camp Crystal Lake.
No.
You know, I heard there's a murderer there.
No, I'm going to probably delve into some science fiction. I want to watch some more Humans, Ex Machina, a bunch of other good stuff. So.
Cool.
Yep.
All right.
Tim, we will talk to you next season on Johnny Has.
Absolutely. We'll see everybody in October.
Have a good one.
I will. Bye.
Bye.